Sandler Wright. beginning a visit with Cookie. This Wednesday morning, the 28th of March, 73. Now I'm taped over the 21st of March recording. Debbie and Rick, Wednesday at supper, 21st of March. And this is Channel 2 Wright and beginning a visit with Cookie. This Wednesday morning, 28th of March, 73. Channel 2 Wright and beginning of the visit with Cookie. This Wednesday morning, 28th of March, 73. I'm taping over Rick and Debbie on Wednesday, the 21st of March, 73. And this is Cookie on Channel 2 Wright. Wednesday morning, the 28th of March, 73.
Wasn't as much coffee in the face as in that cup right there.
Never heard of that. Tell where I've been.
26 cents a cup. 2 pieces of toast with jelly is 45 cents. And I've done bought them any time for 15.
2 pieces of toast with jelly.
And coffee.
No.
No. Cookie?
No. Helen eat toast and jelly and didn't drink no coffee. 45 cents.
You don't think it's a mistake?
No, it was right on the menu there.
And that's the cheapest thing they had, I guess.
No, well, they had no. That's the cheapest they had, but Helen's on a diet, but they, and they didn't have nothing she could eat.
Well, when 2 pieces of toast and a little pat of jelly cost 45 cents.
Now, that's ridiculous. I'll fix me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and carry it with me.
Well, you have to.
I can't afford to try. You just can't afford to eat. You can't. There's no way. Coming back, when I left it for Mama fixed me. Fresh. Well, she had some sausage that she had made and took some of it out of the deep freeze, you know. She fixed me some sausage and some,
that sounds like the way it ought to be.
Then she had some, fresh cow butter and some, honey. She mixed it all up together, you know. Put it in a little jar and a little container, you know, plastic container. Hey, fine. Boy, and you, she had me enough fixed up. All I had to buy was 2 cups of coffee from the time I left home when I got back.
Well, that was nice.
And I eat like a king, mister. I eat like a king. I'd stop and feed my horse and eat myself, see? Yeah. I thought. But feed in from a horse and let him eat. And I'd eat too while he was eating.
That's sausage.
Now that's more like it.
Yeah, that's the old sausage that Mama made herself, you know.
Yeah.
My homespun kind.
Yeah.
And that's the best.
She don't know what a life she's led, does she? I guess she does. Maybe she does.
Well,
when she still got sausage in her refrigerator?
She got sausage, she got pork of any kind, she got beef, she got fresh vegetables.
She's one of the elect, ain't she?
And what she ain't got in the deep freeze, she's got in the cellar can.
Does she know she's one of the elect?
Well, her condition right now, she don't. She don't realize it. But you and I know that.
She knows it when she's at herself.
Yeah, but she's not at herself. Oh, I'm telling you, they've had a time with her in the past 6 weeks.
Oh, I mean, really give them trouble?
Yeah, mentally. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Patty didn't know what he was going to do. He kept calling me, and wanted to know what to do. Daddy, I don't know what to do. I'll get there when I can. I could walk in, though, and I'm telling you the truth. It would change her just like that. But the minute I walked in the door, she was an altogether different person. And she'd do anything I asked her to. Go anywhere I want to go. And when I'm there, she's just a jolly and the same old person all the time. And to be it all, I told you about Helen's mother.
Breaking her ankle.
Falling out of bed now, mind you. Tuesday morning. Wednesday morning. She broke her ankle and her big toe. And she sat there and prodded around on that foot what she could. From Wednesday until Monday. And that her with a broken ankle. And it just got swelled up and got in. She was in so much misery she couldn't hardly live. And it was just black, I'm telling you. Her leg was black to her knee. And Helen looked at it and she said, Mama, said, we got to do something. I said, don't that hurt awful bad? She said, yes, it's just about to kill me. Helen said, well, we'll go to the hospital and see Dr. Statz. That's her doctor anyway. She said, well, looks like we're going to have to do something. But she said, Bill said it would be all right. And I said, now, Grandma, I don't care what Bill said. We're going to take you to the doctor. You just might as well figure on going to the doctor. She said, well, I don't feel like getting ready. I said, I don't care if you don't. I said, Helen, take her in there and get her ready, and we'll take her to the doctor. Well, the poor old soul, she had lost so much weight. Gosh, she used to weigh 150 and 60 pounds.
Yes, that's the picture I had of her.
My gosh. I can pick her up in my arms like a baby like that right now.
Why could you?
I picked her up and towed her out to the car and set her in the car, as crippled up as I am. And we got to the hospital, closer we get to the hospital was half block. I picked her up in my arms and just carried her like a baby to the emergency room door and set her in a wheelchair then. Sure did. She won't weigh 80 pounds. There ain't no way. She won't weigh 80 pounds.
Too much suffering?
They've had nobody to take care of them all winter long. They've had nobody to cook for them, and they have not been able to cook, and they starved herself to death. Grandpa Coger used to weigh 190, 180 and 90. He went in the hospital weighing 142 pounds. And it's nothing but starvation. They've got the money to hire somebody to come in there, but people won't go in. People just won't do it.
Yeah.
And they got plenty of food in the house. Plenty of it. But they just weren't able to fix it. And then that Bill acting the way he did. I don't want to go back up there. I'm too high-tempered. I get mad. And I ain't got no sense when I get mad. I'm liable to just beat the snot out of him and come on back. I am. But now, mind you, he looked at that foot, her foot, through her support hose. She wears support hose all the time because she has varicose veins.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at her foot. He didn't ask her to pull her support hose off for him to look at that foot right. He just glanced at it. Said, "Oh, Mama, it'll be all right in a few days. If we go up and find it broke." Grandpa lay in the hospital and he couldn't find out nothing. I went up and shook them all loose. Went in there and talked to his doctor. And, oh, he said he'll be all right in a week or so. And he turned around and walked off. Started to. I said, "Wait a minute, Dr. Sunday, I want to talk to you." I said, "I'd over 1,000 miles for an answer." And I said, "By God, I come to get it." And he said, "Was you talking to me, Mr. Cook?" I said, "You're damn right I'm talking to you." I said, "You just stop and turn around here." I said, "We're paying you cash money." Now, I said, "You talk to me." I said, "You tell me this, Mr. Coker's physical conditions right now." I said, "You've had him in here for going on 2 weeks. And if you don't know," I said, "it's time for us to find another doctor. And if you ain't going to tell me, I'm going to take him home. Because you ain't doing him no good." He said, "Well, sir," he said, "I'm going to tell you." He said, "His physical conditions are good. He's got arthritis of the spine. And he's going to have to keep moving." I said, "Well, how in the hell can he keep moving and him laying over in the bed and you keep poking medicine at him?"
What did he say to that?
Well, he said, "We had no place to send him." "He's got a home up there." I said, "We're here. I'll take him home with me." Well, he said, "Where do you live?" I said, "I live in Florida." I said, "I'll take him back to Florida with me in a minute." Well, he said, "He's going to have somebody take care of him." I said, "Well, if you've done all you can do for him, you get him out of here and get your name off of his payroll. Because, by gosh, I'm going to take him home and take care of him." And he did. Discharged him the next day. And I took him home. And he walked. He hadn't had his feet on the ground. I mean, walk. On the floor to walk for 2 weeks. And he got out of his car. I drove his car. He got out of his car and walked from the driveway in the house. Sit down. Then he got up and went to the bathroom a half a dozen or so times. And Helen got dinner fixed. He got up and went to the table and eat. And he hadn't went to the table to eat in 4 months. I was there, and he knew that if anything, if he would stumble or fall, that me and Helen was there to pick him up and take care of him, because he didn't have nobody else. There's nobody else would come in and help him around and take care of him. And his oldest son, Bill, is a doctor, and he sure wouldn't go. He just won't go.
His son is a doctor.
A dentist. And he wouldn't go see him. That's a God's truth, and Helen will verify that. And their baby son lived in just across the river from Huntington in Ohio. And he wouldn't take time off to drive from Huntington to Charleston to see him while he's in the hospital for 2 weeks. That's the truth. And he hadn't been home. In fact, the matter, he hadn't had his wife up there but one time. And their baby is, their baby's over a year old since that baby was born. One time. And I think the baby was 3 or 4 weeks old when he come in. his baby boy drives the school bus, and his the boy's wife is one of these the type that I call a squatter. She just won't do a thing. She can't boil water without burning it. That's right.
He really fixed up, ain't he?
Yeah, he is fixed up for the rest of his life. That's what he is. And he weighs over 400, well, right at 400 pounds. He'd have to turn sideways to get in that door.
Good.
That's right.
Always been that way?
Yeah. Weighed about 11, 12 pounds when he was born.
That's the baby.
That's the baby. Sure is.
How you call him a squatter?
They say it won't do nothing. Just won't do nothing.
Well, if she don't now, she never did.
That's right. That's why they're squatters. She never did have to do nothing. And her parents are well off. He's one of the big shots up in Marshall College in Huntington, West Virginia.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And she went to school. Got all kinds of an education, but she just won't work. John's got all kinds of an education. He graduated from Marshall College in Huntington, West Virginia. She did too. And what good is it doing to him? He's driving a school bus and she's squat.
Well, that's just phenomenal, couldn't it? God almighty.
That's the truth.
He has to turn sideways to go through that door.
That's right.
Well, she must get something on the table.
Oh, he doesn't. He doesn't. She don't do nothing.
You been in the house?
No, but I've heard enough talk. I ain't going there. No, I ain't going there. Just like my next baby sister lives in Cleveland, Ohio. I've been to her house one time, I'll never go back. I took mom and daddy there one time. And I won't go back.
Well, with baby boy, now you wouldn't fly over with him.
Yes, I would, too. I'd tell him in a minute just what he could do. I won't back up from nobody.
Well, I thought it was the other one.
Yeah, I'll fly off with either one of them. Because neither one of them won't do nothing. Neither one of them won't come in.
And they're right close. And
that's right. Bill lives within 20 miles of them. And John lives within 70 miles of him. And here we are, 800 and...
Well, Bill, pretty good-natured fella.
No, he's a... He got too much education.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He can't talk to you in our language.
Oh, he can?
No. He's one of them... He's a dentist, see, and he's got to get up there and out there.
Oh, you mean that's...
Helen's brother.
Yeah.
That's the oldest one. He's the dentist.
What's his name?
Bill.
Oh, Bill's the oldest.
Yeah, and John's the baby.
Well, John, yeah. John's good-natured.
No, ain't nothing coming to him.
Neither one of them.
No, neither one of them. I mean, John didn't even go see his daddy at all.
But he ain't even good-natured where you can talk to him.
No. He graduated from Marshall College there. All he knows is music.
Music?
He's the band man.
He's the band man, that's right. And his wife is a band teacher. There's no amount of jobs they can get. Teaching music.
Yeah.
He can play any kind of an instrument he picks up, and she can too. But they don't, from a five-string banjo to a piano. They can play it. and him a school bus driver, and she's a squatter.
That's it.
I speak in plain, but it's the truth. And Grandpa Coger said the same thing.
Oh, did he?
Yes, sir. He patted me on the back when I got ready to leave up there, and he said, Leo, he said, I got to hand it to you. He said, I know these kids. I know them like a book. He said, John and Bill, they are no dependents to be put in them. None whatsoever. He said, you've done more for me and Grandma. Just what little time you've been up here than they have in the past 5 years. I went in there and his pump was waterlogged.
Yeah.
Nobody had had guts enough to go down there and drain it. It's too lazy. And all you had to do was open two valves. He had everything handy.
Yeah. Oh.
All you had to do was open a valve on top of the tank and the valve at the bottom of the tank and let the water run out.
Mm-hmm.
Just flip a switch, just like that. Go back, sit down for 15 minutes, go back and close the valves and turn the switch on. And back in business. But people too lazy to do that either. Sure was. Well, that's right.
And Helen had to take off from her work.
She took off from her work to go up there and find out. See, we made numerous telephone calls to find out. We couldn't find them out. We couldn't find out nothing. Nobody wouldn't tell us nothing. I even called the hospital up there, and Bill had filled them so full of malarkey that they wouldn't tell me nothing on telephone. Helen said, now I've got to find out about my daddy. All right. Call in and tell them what you're going to do tonight, and we'll roll out of here in the morning. It was last Saturday night, but a week ago. I said, I got them horses up there anyway. I want to go get rid of or bring them back or do something. So I hooked on my trailer, jumped in that pickup, and then next morning we was up there. We eat breakfast. We found Grandma in that condition. And then I went to the hospital.
Now, she wasn't by herself.
Yeah. Might have well been by herself. She had a woman staying with her that was old as she was and couldn't get around any better. The same woman that was with her couldn't get her up and put her back in the bed. Had to wait an hour and a half for another neighbor to get up out of bed Three o'clock in the morning, come down and put her back in the bed. It's God's truth. Then I went to the hospital and started raising sand down there. After I got her in the hospital, I went on up to Charleston General. See, it was in two different hospitals. She was in Stats and he was in Charleston General. I left Stats and went up to Charleston General and started raising sand. Helen said, now don't get too rough on them. I said, I'm not. Don't worry about that. I went in there for an answer, and by God, I got it.
But you got her in all right.
I got her in all right, yeah.
And they didn't give you any trouble.
Oh, no static at all. When I admitted her, well, see, Medicare, gotta have, cost $64 admission when they first go in the hospital. $64. Then that, very seldom you ever have to pay any more, you know. But I'm having to call Dr. Hill in, a bone specialist, by having arthritis so bad, to set them bones in her ankle and so forth. Well, It'll cost about $180-$190 to get her out. But I didn't have very much money. Helen didn't have very much. She didn't have none. But we got her in the hospital. That's what Bill was afraid of. That's the reason he won't go get her and take her home now.
Oh, afraid it'll cost him something?
Afraid it'll cost him some money. Me and Helen, we got $64. And put her in the hospital. We went up and seen Grandpa then. He said, well, how much did it cost you? And I told him. Well, he said, when you're going back. I said, I don't know when I get the answer. I said, I'll come up here to get an answer. I said, I got half of it this morning. I'm going to get the other half today. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, I see your doctor. I did. I got it.
So he's at home.
He's at home. She's still in the hospital. Bill won't go get her. But I'm going to take her home tomorrow. You watch me. I'm in Florida, but I'll take her home tomorrow.
Are you on your way?
As soon as I go to university. They're going to give me a physical up there. Another physical. And then I'm just going to keep on getting up. Me and Laura.
Is Laura taking off this time?
Yeah. She hadn't worked for a week. She'd been sick. Yeah, she's had one leg. She had to keep elevated for a week. Pulled muscles.
What?
Pulled muscles in her leg. Had to keep it elevated up every time she sat down for a week. Had this strep throat and flu along with it. She's been an awful mess, that kid has. That hospital up there is talking about her like she's dirt under their feet. Because she won't come in to work, and she ain't able to work. I had to go up there and straighten him out. Probably. I'll do it.
How'd she pull a muscle?
Over at that hospital. Lifting the patient back in the bed.
I didn't think she was supposed to do the lifting.
She wasn't. See, Dr. Almond told her not to lift. Well, this patient of hers, in some way, she got caught in a trap and had to do something about it. Well, she won't, Laura won't let down. Mm-hmm. She won't quit. I mean, she'll stay right there till the last breath is drawn. Now, she'll stay there. I don't know what happened to her.
You just get in a pinch sometimes, I guess.
Now, see, we left on Sunday morning to go up home. Well, she worked Sunday night. And she did it Sunday night after we left.
On the job?
On the job. I imagine they'll pay her, I mean, for what time she's been off.
Now, let me tell you, Cookie, that flu business and strep throat and things like that, them hospitals is where you catch everything.
That's right.
And doctor's offices.
You get more, you catch more junk like that in places, in a doctor's office and a hospital than you do out here in the fresh air.
You know, I went into that doctor's office, they were right, he was recommended to me. He was out there, a little piece uptown there, just on the edge of town on Newberry Road. And they come in, one of them come in and started puffing a great big long cigarette, you know, right there, filling up the room, you're going to smoke. One of them come in and she had such a cold, you know, she couldn't breathe and she's coughing and filling the air with all that cough. I just got them left. I thought, well, if I got to die, I'll die at home.
That's right.
With my own disease. And she can't help getting some things.
No, because
she might throw off a little, but she can't just continue.
She can't throw everything off. And that poor kid has lost weight. She looks like a whippoorwill. She does. You know, Laura used to be fat and
plump. Oh, yes.
She's not.
Tell you
what,
Debbie, I want her to see Cookie before he goes. It's going to take but a minute. She just comes and goes. And she's sort of taken up out here. She won't go home. She don't want to go home, you see. But hey, nothing happens out here. She helps me with the cash a little bit.
Yeah.
And she rides a horse. She don't know anything about horses. And furthermore, she's got weak ankles. Now, I didn't know that. But pretty soon after she come down here, she out here on the side, right down there, that little locust thicket where they plowed that up. It's pure clay and all the sand's washed off of it, don't you know?
Yeah.
And it shouldn't have been plowed up. And it's just as rough as Hades down there. And she turned her ankle somehow. And then 2 or 3 days later, she turned the other one. And she's wearing them big lace shoes now.
Yeah.
See? I see her walking around here with that swing. I thought, Lord help her, she can just pick up one end of the car. You don't need a jack. Well, she's strong, but them ankles. And so you can't ride a horse with ankles like that. You got to... I don't know how it is, but it's a person who really not much of a horseman can sit on a horse, and to me they look like they're just as good riders as anybody else. I can't tell the difference.
Yeah, well, well, I got a mate for Rowdy.
Yeah? Up there?
Over in Hawthorne.
You got him already down here?
Yeah. Yeah, I brought him back with me. It's the last trip.
Yeah.
He's a fine horse.
Yeah.
6-year-old.
Yeah. Rick's about to run out of money. He thought he hadn't seen... Well, good evening.
Wow.
Rick about to run out of money. You better go get something. And he hadn't seen Franklin over there. He thought maybe he'd go over there and work a little bit over there. Franklin hadn't been over there. Was he up there with you?
No, he's working with Barclay Toyota in Gainesville.
Fire down here.
Yeah, Ed wasn't paying him no money.
He do better up there.
Oh my gosh, yeah. He'd make $10 more on a day up there than he was making over there.
Half again as much?
Yeah.
Don't tell me.
That's right. Ed's only paying him $1.60 an hour over there.
And he had to come all the way from Hawthorne.
That's right. Well, he can go to Gainesville and get $2.75.
And it's short.
That's right. And a future in it.
Yeah.
And a future in it.
Is that all he can pay?
Well, he says that's all he can pay. But he's not meeting the standards. He's not meeting the standards. 'Cause Frank worked over 40 hours every week he's worked over there. He's supposed to pay him time and a half for all over 40 hours that he worked.
Right.
Sure was. So he better keep his nose clean.
Yeah, on things like that.
Yes, sir. Minimum wage law is for $1.60 for 40 hours. And time and half time for all over 40 hours.
Yeah.
And Frank never drew time and half time for nothing.
Never got anything.
Never got nothing, no.
Well, I'm sorry about that. They're so nice, old actually. They're pleasant. You know, they seem like they're kind of human over there.
Yeah, he's Ed's all right. He treats me all right.
And Janet, she's the one.
Yeah, she's all right. But I don't blame Frank. Heck, he got a chance to get more money.
And the thing going on over there, everybody comes in over there. We just talking the other night about that. Over here, you know, over here in Meganobe, when Buck Weaver was there, had that little restaurant, store, and up the street was Red and White and all. Mm-hmm. Well, Buster was out there right in the middle of it. Ain't nothing there left but Buster now.
That's right. And he's just there.
And he ain't doing enough that nobody comes around. Don't you know you used to pass by there and you couldn't pass by there or he'd holler at you?
Yeah.
Well, it don't look like he...
I don't think he opens the door more than half the time anymore.
Yeah, it's always dark.
Always dark. I don't know what he's up to. I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him in a year. Last time I was over there, he gave me a hard time. He got a, Debbie, he got a mate for, Rowdy.
Rowdy, yeah. Well, Pinto.
Pinto and all.
Same color.
Yeah.
Size, same size?
About, yeah. He's the best mate for him that I've ever had.
Yeah.
Huh. Sure is.
Yeah. Well, you actually haven't had a mate.
I haven't had a real mate for Rowdy.
Is he babe or is high strung?
Yeah, she didn't have a bit of sense, hardly.
In public?
That's right. In public, she didn't have a bit of sense. But this horse I've got now, you can just lead him up to a bridge and he'll just walk right on across it. They don't pay a bit of attention to him.
Yeah.
Great big high bridge.
Easy.
I believe he'd walk across the foot log if you just start with him.
And Ajax was so big, and that other young horse you had.
Tony
was so big.
And high strung. Fractious.
I didn't see that much of him. I didn't realize that.
Oh, he was fractious.
Young. He was young.
Every time you hooked him up, you practically had to break him. You had to hold him to hook him. And whenever you turn him loose, you better be ready to ride because he's going to go.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want a horse like that. I've got no use for one.
Well, let me tell you, Cookie, are you navigating yourself now, or are you sort of on the list, ailing?
Well, I'm still ailing, but I got to start navigating.
Now your face is a little thin.
Yeah, I've lost a lot of weight.
Doing what?
I don't know.
Eating?
I eat all the time. I guess I eat so much it makes me poor to carry it around.
Well, you hadn't been eating that much.
No, but here lately I've been eating good. I only weigh 122 now.
You ought to weigh 135, 40.
I ought to weigh 145. I weigh 122.
Yeah. Well, now. You still have that pain in your side?
Still got it.
And they don't know what to do with it?
All they know what to do is give me a codeine to kill it. give me codeine to kill it. That's all they know what to do. I've been to the med center. I've been to the VA. I've been back to Tampa. And that's all they say. Live with it and kill it. Well, I tell you,
well,
it gets old.
Huh?
It gets old living or something like that all the time.
That'll put you down.
That's right. And then
you can't look plump and healthy with something like that pulling on you all the time.
You can't sleep? There ain't no way for you to sleep at night. There just ain't no way. I'm lucky if I can get 2 hours sleep in one night. That's right. 2 hours sleep in one night. I'll lay there and rest. But what good is that? I mean, it does you good, but you got to have some sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I lay there and rest and smoke cigars.
Well, now that's it. Now you let up a little bit on the treating.
Well, in the last couple of weeks I have, yeah.
Yeah. You haven't been up to Valdosta so much?
Oh yeah, not in the last couple of weeks.
Well, you've been on the road.
Yeah. But before then, I was hot to trot then. Man, I was going to every sale in the country. I went to Jacksonville, Valdosta.
Yeah.
Sylvester, Ponte Gorda, Tampa, Lakeland, Orlando.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I hit them. And I had to raise some money, and there wasn't one way to do it, and that's get out in horse trade. I done it. I accomplished my mission.
That, yeah. Well, now, that university thing, they keep wanting to put you back on heavy machinery.
That's right. Well, they're not going to do it. I'm not going to stand still. That's why I'm going back for another physical today. I've got to be there at 10:30 this morning. Now, I ain't going back on that heavy equipment. Now, there's jobs out there that they give me to work at without putting me on heavy equipment.
I don't quite understand that.
I know what it is. I know what I'm doing with that tractor.
Yeah.
And I'm the only man they got out there that does know what he's doing with it.
Yes.
And the job that I was working on when I took sick, the 7th day of last March, was a year ago.
Yeah.
Is still waiting for me to finish.
That's
completely
right. You said
that. Is that right?
I started to work on it and I worked 6 days at it and had to quit.
That's right. Nobody else could do it, you see.
That's right. Nobody else could do it. But I can do it. And they know I can do it.
Well, it looks to me like you're just going to have to find some relief for that chest.
They're going to have to do something about that. That's all they are to it.
Well, you somebody got what do you? I don't have anything else to do except go in there. They'll do something. What else can you do, Cookie?
What, there at the university?
I mean, what else can you do to get relief from that thing? You know, you're not supposed to have all that pain.
I know it, Dan. I don't know what to do. I've been to the VA. They took x-rays. They said, oh, that's just adhesions and pinching nerves. I said, well, do something and get that nerve relieved. It'll cause you more trouble. Well, now there it is.
You know, a lot of times you feel like if you had somebody who could sort of look into it and find out what in the world goes on. It would be a great help. Now, you know, I've had that happen in a few cases, but not very much anymore. There's just too much to cut through. You just can't find out. I used to call Ms. Van Arnum, and she knew a lot of people, you see, and she could sort of pick up what was going on from him.
Well, if...
In the medical side.
If I don't find out something still continues like this, I'm going up to Jasper to Dr. Klink.
Yeah, he's your old...
He's my old faithful.
Standby.
Yeah.
Faithful.
I'm going up there and talk to him. Now, he'll tell me just exactly what's wrong.
Well, yes. Yeah.
Now, he'll tell me.
Straight.
Straight. He don't go around no bush about it, and he don't come in
and
there.
And if he don't know, he can find out.
If he don't know, he'll go to the hospital and find out.
Well, now, that's what you need, Cookie, something like that. Sort of steer you.
He'll come down and talk in manual language with his understand. He won't
see,
use these medical terms.
The worst shape I ever saw Cookie in, he was going to all these places, and they was working him over and doing everything for him, and you know what happened? He had an abscess, too.
That's right. I remember hearing that. We talked about that one morning.
And he went everywhere.
And they didn't know what was wrong.
He went to the neurologist, and he spent a week over in the veterans'
hospital. That's right.
That's right. It was just your tooth the whole time.
One tooth,
yeah. Causing all that pain.
Yeah.
And that went on a long
time.
And
he didn't find that until he went up to...
I didn't find that till I'd all just ready to blow my brains out with a shotgun, and I decided I was going to try one more thing, have my teeth pulled. And I went to Florence, South Carolina, and paid them $81 to pull my teeth and put these in.
Yeah. Now, are these the same ones they put in?
No, this is a different set.
Up there? You go back up there?
Yeah, I went back over and got me another set made.
$50?
$40.
$40. The first one just didn't fit.
Nowhere.
Not at all, huh?
Nowhere at all.
Well, how'd they do you like that?
Everybody got to goof up once in a while, and they just goofed up. I mean, they just... They didn't make them small enough. They didn't anticipate the shrinkage that my gums would do. Correct.
Yeah.
As a rule, they can just about hit it. Now they hit it. They hit it on Helen.
She didn't have to go back.
No, she's still wearing them. She's had hers how many years? About 6 years. About 6 years.
And you just went right on back up there, and when they didn't fit.
I had them pulled in January, and then I went back up in July, and had me another set made.
Or you waited longer than that.
No, I didn't.
Well, you going around here a couple of years, Cookie.
No,
without
I didn't.
Your teeth in your pocket.
No, I didn't. I had them pulled in January.
Don't tell me. I was here.
7th day of January and went up there. And then I went home at 4th of July and took Daddy that little Palomino mare.
You can tell that.
It was in July.
4th day of July. But not the same year.
Yes,
it's
it was.
2 years later.
I've only had them 2 years, by mom.
You kept them teeth in your pocket for a year or two.
No, I've only, the 7th day of this past January was 3 years since I had my teeth pulled. Because I had the station 2 years ago, and I had them pulled when I had the station.
Yes.
That's right. Okay. I had them pulled in January after I got that station in March.
Yeah. Well, now, how long have you had them?
I've had them 3 years.
How long you have the new ones?
These that I got now?
Uh-huh.
2 years.
Cookie, that is the biggest lie I ever heard.
No, that's right.
I don't have a way of proving it.
It'll be 2 years before this July since I took Daddy that mare.
I mean the new model, the second set.
I think 2 years.
You've not had them 2 years.
Yes, I have, too.
You haven't had any that you could wear.
I've had these right here 2 years, the 4th of this July, because when I took Daddy that Palomino mare. And he's kept her 2 winters.
Well, I just dropped out of the calendar for a while.
Well, that's right.
And that a new hat?
Yeah, new hat.
That don't look hard like a lot of them Western hats. Is it?
Yeah. That's felt.
That's a nice one.
Yeah. That's bad. Yeah. Now, so many of them are hard. Is that because they're not felt?
Yeah, straw. Most of them are straw.
Yeah.
Most of them straw hats are $7, $8, $9 hats.
You haven't broken that in yet. How long you had it?
About a month.
Yeah.
Okay.
A good piece of felt takes you a while to break it in, don't it? That's got some weight to it.
That takes about as long to break it in as it does to pay for it.
Yeah. Ways around into that.
Up in Georgia?
Yeah. You can find everything around those places.
Oh, yeah.
They even got good food around them places.
Oh, yeah.
Do they charge you 45 cents for toast there?
Mm-mm. No, you can go in there and eat a full meal for a dollar and a half. I mean steak.
Yeah.
Steak?
Well, why do the heifers charge so much at the roadhouses?
I don't know. I do too. A tourist.
Oh.
Know that they can charge it and get it and get by with it.
They don't pay it because they don't have any place else to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't stopped at a restaurant going up. And it's 45 cents for toast and jelly.
Golly.
26 cents for a cup of coffee.
26 cents for a cup of coffee?
To God's truth.
That's awful.
That's the truth.
Now, you don't stop at those places when you're out.
Well, you know, I usually stop at places like those hamburger places, like McDonald's and things like that. Eat hamburgers the whole way.
Well, now, to me, I had a trailer.
Yeah.
And I had to stop at places that I could get that trailer and truck off.
That's right.
Park it.
Yeah.
I couldn't just pull in and then
and
block the whole driveway. You know what I mean.
That's
I had
right.
to pull in where I could get my truck and trailer out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never had a trailer. Just always a car.
Well, now you're not getting any use out of your equipment over here, your trailer and all.
Well, I will. When I get the sick all settled, I'll be back on the beat.
You know what I thought about? I don't know. Nothing over there they can anybody can bother?
No, the well's still there. The pump's still there.
Oh, somebody come in and get them.
But, that old colored guy down there at the end of the road there, he kind of keeps an eye up through there.
Oh, don't tell me.
Yes, sir. He's run two or three people off down there.
Huh.
And Frank Sermon, just a buddy of mine, he pulled in there one night to check on the horses and everything. Just kabang, here come that old color boy. Wonder what are you doing up here?
Yeah.
Like
yes,
a
watchdog. Sir. Yes, sir. Just like a watchdog. Yeah, that's what are you doing up here?
Well, I never would expect that.
See, he gets water down at the well all the time.
Oh, does he?
Yes, sir. Just that little bit of water that he totes away from there, it means a lot to me.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Anybody goes in there and he's around, he's going to find out what they're doing in there.
Well, I'm a dying. What do you know?
Yes, sir.
Now, so that puts a whole new light on it.
Yeah.
I never heard of him bothering anything.
No, he don't bother nothing. He treats himself worse than anybody else.
Yeah.
Worse to yourself than anybody else, getting out and getting drunk.
Oh, And none of them niggas up in there, I never heard of any of them bothering anybody. That's one thing about the people in here. Now, you may have little oddballs every now and then, you see.
Yeah, bypassers.
Or maybe some of them will, you know, fly off the handle every now and then. But by and large, all of them, all in here.
Yeah. then another thing, last two or three times we've been down over in, had a picnic out in the yard. Why, hell, the fix him a great big plate and send it down too.
Oh, don't tell me.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That'll. Let me tell you, he hadn't had anything to eat since his mama died.
And man, I'm telling you, ain't nobody gonna run away with that.
Yes.
No.
Well, I'll tell you, when you're hungry and you get a plate from Helen,
I bet that's something.
Yes.
And that's just the way it is.
He's the last one that goes around on foot. The last one. Everybody used to walk, you know. Now, you never run into this fella that drives school buses, this black fella down here, Patterson Burnett.
Yeah, I knew him before I ever come down here.
Where'd you run into him?
When I worked at the school bus garage up at Gainesville.
Oh, well, that far back?
Yes, sir.
He's been with it?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
I come out here in these woods and started that old 58 GMC for him lots of times.
And he couldn't start it?
He couldn't start it. He didn't want to start it.
He just sat there?
Just sat there. Trying to get a new bus and didn't get it.
Yeah.
And did get it. That's right.
How long will the clutch last him?
About 3 months.
Yeah.
Just about 3 months.
Yeah.
And a transmission about 6 months.
He really goes through it.
Yeah.
And a set of springs. Indefinite.
Depends.
All depends.
On whether or not they've graded the road.
That's right. Because it was the same speed, whether it was graded or whether it wasn't. The same speed.
Yes.
Wide open.
Ba, 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 ba.
Yeah, wide open. Just as fast as that thing would go.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd bump a governor on these graded roads just as well as he would on the hard road.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Well, he does his own vehicles the same way,
yeah.
So there's no partiality.
It's like he said, that governor's on there to take care of it. He said, now let it take care of it. So he'd bump it, just keep on getting up. Yeah, I've heard him tell Andy Anderson that up there school bus garage.
Well, he no respecter of persons. He'd tell anybody the same thing.
Yeah.
If he told me, he'd tell me the same thing he would him.
Yeah.
I never saw anybody like him.
Tear up more automobiles than Frank can.
Yeah. Except he don't wreck them.
No, he just absolutely dogs them.
Dogs them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
he's got watermelons in over here. This place where all the Johnson grass is?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the colored fellas, the black fellas, you see, they're doing it. The one thing they don't have is judgment. Nothing ever been planted over except corn. And corn will work all right if you get it in early enough, the way it got a sort of running start on that Johnson grass.
Yeah.
You see, melon's not got any chance. And you see, I thought about that. They had the fertilizer truck out there broadcasting it. Well, they can't broadcast fertilizer over that. They got to put it underneath the corn or the melons. Or that Johnson grass be fertilized too.
That's right.
Well, anyhow, they got Burnett over there to break it and hurry. And he goes at a mile a minute, you see. And then something happened. They planted it. Now it's growing up in Johnson grass, and they don't get Burnett to run it, to drag through it or something. And what I think is, Bennett went up in his price.
Oh, he got him into it at a reasonable price.
Yeah.
Then when they had to, here he comes back at a little higher price.
I think so. Yeah. And you see, I had him do a little for me, and that's why he did me. And what I'm thinking of, you see, if I don't know anybody to check with him more on those things, but I, what do you call it, a one-man customer? I used to farm a little bit up there, and they made snap corn then. And old Leon Traxler, he lived in town, but he had his farm out there, and he went out every day. I'd go out there with him, and we'd make that snap corn. And he had the shabbiest corn you ever saw. It was more shucked and cob, hardly any corn on it. A whole lot of it, you see. And I was in that B&G one day with him, and I said to Carl sometime later, I says, "You buy this stuff?" He says, "No." He says, "He's, I forget the term he used. He, that is, he, they buy from him one time and that's all." Now that's what they do Burnett, I think.
Yeah.
They hire him one time, and then he got to look out for more.
Look out for another supper.
I think so, but I'm not sure. You don't know him that well. I mean, you haven't kept up with
him. No, I don't keep up with him.
And then when he goes by your place down there, he's flying by, he never stops.
No, he'll come around that curve up there. Lord, that school bus faster than I will with my pickup. He keeps right on moving.
That's fast.
Just as fast as that old bus will run. Now, just like a streak.
Is this a new truck?
I just painted it.
Blue.
Oh, it's handsome too. I thought it was brand new.
Well, how come you painted it blue? Is it blue inside?
Yeah. Oh. It was blue inside. The cab was blue inside, so I put, rather than go with all that trouble painting the inside, I just painted the outside to match it.
I see.
Trailer painted the same color.
Well, now, did you use a house paintbrush, or did you take it to the, did you do it right?
I sprayed it on.
Yeah. Now, when you spray it on, you have to have it surface right, don't you?
That's right. It's got to be right.
Yeah.
And you got to have your paint gun just right, or it'll run, and everything.
Yeah. And you couldn't do that at home. You had to do that at the...
Well, I did it in my backyard.
Oh, did you?
Yes, sir. Did it in my backyard.
Well, I thought maybe... I didn't know you could do it.
Yeah, I didn't either.
In your backyard?
I didn't either.
What you do, just bar the... All you had to do was bar the gun?
No, I bought one.
Bought one? Then traded it off?
No, I still got it. I probably will.
Yeah.
I probably will.
Well, you save money at buying the gun.
Sure.
Well, of course, when you do the work and just buy a little paint to put on that, it ain't too much expense, is it?
It cost me less than $50 to get it painted. My whole thing, truck, trailer, and everything. Paint gun, the whole thing.
Oh, the paint gun?
Yeah. Got it all. Cost me less than $50.
Hell, I thought them paint guns was way up there.
They are sometimes. If you don't get them just right.
Oh. You just found out where to get it?
Well, people have one they want to get rid of. Why?
Yeah.
You know.
You didn't buy it new.
No.
You know, this buying stuff new, if you buy it at the discounts, you don't save much. I mean, they charge so much now, Cookie, you can't afford to buy it at a discount place.
No.
I mean, it's, like White Electric. Now, you take those batteries, you see. You know those batteries you got me?
Yeah.
You got them for half of what I'd had to pay for them.
That's right.
Well, you don't get them for that from White Electric.
No. Well,
you gotta go.
I'm gonna have to go.
Well, let me tell you, Cookie, God darn.
It's 9:30.
We had a 3-inch rain down here, and that just put us on the map. You see how green it is?
Yeah. I left West Virginia 6 inches of snow last Sunday. Saturday night, too. I pulled out of West Virginia, out of my dad, 6 inches of snow.
Is that right?
And Daddy says, you gonna put my chains on your truck? I said, no. He said, you can't make it up them hills. I said, well, we'll see.
He didn't know what sort of tires he had.
Well, he had rough tires on his truck. Snow tires.
Yeah.
And chains.
Yeah.
He said, I won't try it with that trailer. I just kept right on going.
Well, how did you manage it?
I don't know.
It just stayed on the road, huh?
Leave it? Couldn't you get on like you had to see any doctor? You're that 30.
Time to ride around 1500 and end the visit with Cookie, with Debbie. This Wednesday morning, the 28th of March, 73. I taped over Rick and Debbie Wednesday a week ago, and that's continued here. But there were two copies of it. Now, this is the end of the Channel 2 ride around 1500. End the visit with Cookie. This is Wednesday morning, the 28th of March, 73.
I want to see that other horse. Springtime, and you won't have any sickness. The whole year.
He'd raise his voice on that.
He talked like them. And he says, I don't know whether they're so or not. But he said, oh yes, it's the poke bears took him back up there. They love the poke salad up there. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then they like to mix a little of that with the sassafras. Yes, that's what it was.
Poke salad and sassafras tea.
And he says he had a little farm up there, up past Atlanta, and he says they'd come out there, them country folks, and dig sassafras. He said one little part of his farm, they call it Sassafras Hill. It had so much sassafras growing on it. And he says nobody, they could take all they wanted, and it was never missed. Why, he says some of them sassafras bushes grow big enough for fence posts.
That's right. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, that's,
now, you see, he's reporting. And you can just live in it.
And you see, you think, well, he gets back to Georgia. But they all get back to Georgia. It's the creation state. They leave it to come down here and other places. But they always live in Georgia. I see it's already there. It's already there, you see. You can see it. So I don't know why you have to go off jogging around, you see, putting in, not getting anywhere. You've got all that to work with. And what you want, you see, if you had this sensibility for it, you see, what is the whole thing is? The whole thing is, you see, you have to surface. You can have it, but it won't do you any good. You've got to use it. And if you just complicate yourself, you see, by going at all these loose ends and all directions, you see, you never come to the point of it. And somehow what you want to do is be able to use that tape and put it down. Use the tape. Mm-hmm. That's where the talk is best. It's the only place that's a good talk. Otherwise, you're just going to be relating adventures.
I remember. Yeah. Stacy. He could work. He knew how to work. Because he was brought up in Georgia. He was a Georgia nigga. That's right.
You can learn it much faster. You can learn it from the tape, and you can learn it much faster from it. You just live with the tape. And all you got to do is just keep the wax out of your ear. Sprain an ankle. And
we had a little excursion today.
Yeah, Debbie.
Miss Mary got took.
No.
We all got took.
That's pretty funny. She got mad.
No.
Up there at Orange Hill where they sell orange juice. And a little sign at the corner that says, "See the only red bats in captivity?" Who saw the sign?
I did, I think.
She saw the sign.
You seen it, Faye?
Yeah.
Huh?
So we all went around the corner and followed the path back and saw the little stand under the orange tree. White with a little orange top and a screen and some hay in there and these two red bars and look like some droppings. I thought they were bat droppings or something, but no red bats. So we went on around back inside and bought the orange juice and said to the fellow, "You don't have any red bats." And he goes, "Huh?" He says, "The sign. You don't have any red bats back there." And he laughed. And they said, "Oh, yes, I do. There's two of them in there. Didn't you see them?" And I went, "Oh, no." He said, "You don't like baseball."
You mean you really hadn't been back there? I'd never been back there before. I'd always been meaning to go and had never gone.
We went back on around and looked in there. And Miss Mary looked in there. "Well, I don't see any red bats." I said, "Miss Mary, there's two of them. They're baseball bats. They're red." She hoofed up a little bit, and she got mad.
Oh?
"Well, that's just plain lying." And these two women stepped out of the bathroom. They go, "What's that?" And he said, "There ain't no bats over there. Did you see that?" They said, "No, we thought I was in the bathroom." And she came around the corner, and we were laughing, just rolling, laughing, and she was just grim-faced and just walking stiff. And that's just plain lying. That's all that is. We got halfway down the road, and that bumblebee that was in the car, and it was big, 1.5, 2 inches long, was on the dash. And Miss Mary saw it and made us pull off the road and drive up the hill by the trailer park and get out of the car.
Stop the car and get me out, she said.
I thought she was kidding. She enjoyed that. I had to flick that poor old bee out of the car, and it was half dead, and jump on it.
Nobody has said anything about John Davenport, see?
I'd like to read his plays because I think that I was interested in that world of the that theater group at the University of Tennessee that you were all in. I was fascinated by that, and he wrote the plays for that. It's not particularly that they're good plays or not, but it's just that he wrote them for that group, and that must have been really something. You could probably see a little bit in the kind of plays he wrote.
Well, I tell you, I'm sorry, I'm ashamed to say it, but I have no recollection at all of that play. If one of them we were performed, but I think I'd come back to him once I got in there.
It was the one, you know, everybody. It was John's Early Autumn. That was just. Seems to me that it was for years in the making, and finally when it did come off,
now John has never changed. He was, I didn't realize how much of an indoor person he was.
Always. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the farthest I've ever seen him walk, was that walk we took that night. And he said the doctor told him he needed to walk. He never walked. Well, we never was in any place where he, you know. I don't see John that way. Indoors and comfortable.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I guess comfortable. He had some property always back when not many people had property.
Mm-hmm.
And now so many people have it, it's not much a distinction, is it? See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Yeah. Is this your light?
Yeah.
That was a real trip.
Right. I even got invited back.
Anyway, yeah.
The roof on the house.
Yeah, imagine.
Never went back to see him. Miss Mary was so upset. Oh. It was really funny that she was taken.
She said, well, it wasn't funny to her.
Oh, no. No, it wasn't funny at all.
Channel 2 right around the 1700, I'd say, over towards the end, 1700, and the end of visit of the session with Rick and Debbie after supper this Wednesday, the 20th of March, 73. Channel 2 right around 1700, and the end of the session with Rick and Debbie after supper this Wednesday, the 21st, is it? 21st of March, yeah. Wednesday the 21st of March. Wednesday the 21st of March. Wednesday the 21st of March, 1973.